Thank you for listening to the Circuit Rider Podcast. You are currently listening to the Jesus Encounter Series, Part 1, Culture of Active Love. For more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at crmovement.com.
All right, can y'all hear me? You ready?
Yeah!
Everybody got their small group? Did everybody meet everybody real quick? Everybody say hi in their small group?
Hi, small group.
That's right. So good. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to give you 15 minutes of an intro to what you're going to do today. We do 15 minutes of intro, and then we're going to transition from that intro, and we're going to cover the first subject you're going to go, which is going to take about 12 minutes, and then you're going to go. So this is the first morning. We got to do just a little intro for you to get what we're doing and to understand what this exercise is about, okay? We're going to look in your book in just a second. Can everybody hear this mic? Is it on?
Yes.
Everybody good? Okay, so good to see everybody. Being in Rock Harbor is pretty special. Being in Costa Mesa is massively special.
Yeah.
Being in the place where the Jesus movement really began in Southern California is extremely special.
Yeah.
And to have a room with this level of lovers of Jesus all together in SoCal makes you a little sentimental, doesn't it? That maybe God is up to it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're doing today and tomorrow is we're going in reverse of what we normally do. We would want to normally start out with speakers, all of us, you know, giving you some stuff, you guys reacting to it, but pretty much a stage-driven day or two where we're kind of giving you the culture of the Circuit Rider. But as we began to think about it as a leadership team, we wanted to reverse polarize the first 2 days. We felt like, how can that be more meaningful to young leaders? If they're just listening to us, that's good. But what if they begin to reflect? What if they begin to get alone with God? What if they begin to dig deeper? How much more would they get out of Jesus and them than us and them? And we begin to feel this sensitivity that maybe we were the problem and we were getting in the way of what Jesus wanted to do in your life. Not in a negative, but just like God has something so much richer that He'll say to you by His Spirit than He could ever say to you through me or anyone that would be up here. Do you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want to use two words, corporate encounter and personal encounter. Now, I love corporate encounters. Like when we were together this last week, we were in a corporate encounter. Yeah. Nothing better than that. I remember those for my whole life. But God is also the God of personal encounter. Yeah. And the Bible is filled with people who encountered Him personally. And boom, they were never the same. Isaiah, a personal encounter, saw the holiness of God, never looked back. Daniel, personal encounter, boom, never looked back. Jacob, wrestling, never looked back. People met Jesus personally, and they were never the same. We want to major on personal encounters in the next 48 hours. We want to shift it from corporate to personal, and we want to experiment and say, did something greater happen? Was it more meaningful for us when we started to go personal? Okay, so number two, when we think about this exercise, I want you to think about right now, currently, the demand and need for leaders in every nation of the world. If you think about droughts, if you think about famines, if you think of lack, a lot of times people will say, well, we have a leader's lack. We lack leaders. But you don't have to go far, do you, to look in political, look in education, look in all kinds of areas of society and go, man, I wish we had some more leaders in there. You hear what I'm saying? I wish we had some people that were leading out with greater wisdom and greater solution and greater creativity. Man, we need greater leaders. And so what we are wanting to do in this day and tomorrow is really press in that every one of us in this room is a leader. And we were wanting to remove the 1% leading and empower the 99% to lead so that the 99% that have all these talents, have all these abilities, are not dormant or just following along, but they're rising in their full potential and their full talent and their full gifts unto Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When you think about it, if we only have the 1% leading, we have 99% of the talent unused. No good business would leave 99% of the talent unused. Truth? No good NBA team would have 99% of the talent on the bench waving at the team. Truth? There's nothing in life that you would want that in. And so in the same way, following Christ, Jesus went into the world and he began to speak to these 12 guys and it began to spread to these 72 guys and it began to spread and the masses began to hear. Jesus was taking the message to everyone, everywhere, all the time. And a leadership revolution rose up and they took the message to the ends of the earth. We want to do that in the next 2 days. You ready for that? Of course you are. All right, now, the last piece of this is so key. When we have vision, a lot of times, you and I, we do a great job trying to get vision. I love that exercise, right? Like, I want to know what I want to do in life. I want to know who I'm going to marry in life. I want to know where I'm going to, you know, right? Those are favorite top-of-the-mind subjects. I love that stuff. You love that stuff. Vision is so exciting. There's nothing wrong. Without vision, the Bible says, people die. So vision's definitely a very positive thing. You do not want to be without vision. I don't think you're going to biologically die, but you get the point of the Bible. You just start to fade and become discouraged and depressed. Okay? And so we love vision. You love vision. We don't want to walk around visionless. But here's what we want to back up just a little bit. Where does that vision come from? And when you ask people, when we've done studies in the business community, what they found out is, why is it that sometimes great leaders fail? Why is it that sometimes an average leader that people say doesn't have any way they could succeed, why does that person all of a sudden succeed? What are some of the things that cause, and there's a great book called Tribal Leadership, and they began to look into this, and what they found was that those that focused on culture, their vision was so much clearer. When they built their foundation on the values and the beliefs that they really held, then what they wanted to do exploded because they were all walking in the same value. Let's just say your company valued customer service. It doesn't do any good for T-Mobile to have a third of the guys liking customer service and two-thirds of the guys thinking customer service stinks. True? In order for T-Mobile to expand, they need to all agree that customer service is where it needs to be found. True? So it is with Christians. When we have, as Christians, if we all agree we want to be unoffendable, our vision is going to be way more electric. If we all agree that we're going to live surrendered, well, the vision can ask a whole lot more. If we all believe that the only answer is Jesus and his love, well then, send us anywhere. And so our culture, what we're carrying in Christ, really begins to catapult us forward in what we want to do. And so you can't give someone their culture. You can describe it, you can paint it, you can illustrate it, but in the end, we have a free will. And that free will is so beautiful that it, when it decides what it wants to be, how many of you saw the movie Unbroken? That young guy decided the culture he wanted to live through the whole thing. How did he get it? God gave him a free will. And when that free will dug down deep, it decided to love and not hate, and he makes it through. You're not going to get culture through just his speech. You're going to get culture from seeing the man Jesus and deciding who you want to be. Okay? All right, so you got this book. I'm just going to preview a few pages. Go to the very end. And I know that when we think about Christian meditation and being alone with Jesus on page 78, there's a little bit of information for you on those two subjects. These are our weapons. Would you say it? Weapons.
Weapons.
Now, I never thought in my life that I would be up in front of people talking about solitude as a weapon. I'm a high eye on my disc test. I love people. I get energy from people. So I'm literally paddling up the river the wrong way, but I'm going to try it with you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Some of us are more prone to solitude. I don't want to talk to you. You're already good at it. But for some of us, to be alone is literally a historic event. All right? So some of us are going to be good at this. Some of us are going to be like all pro. You're going to sit there all day alone. We're going to pull you out, come back. You know, we all are different, and we all have strengths, and we all are going to try it together, okay? So the first thing is, let's not sign up to be pros at anything today except for following Jesus, okay? So if you're the ultimate in meditation because you've been, like, memorizing verses for the last 8 years, bro, amen. Maybe the person next to you just started today. Let's create a culture, though, that we all can participate in and have fun, right? So what is meditation? We've got a couple minutes. I just want to highlight it. Down below, it says, there's a verse there, John 5:19. It says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." That's our anchor verse. We all know that verse. Is the Son was so attuned to his Father, he knew what Pops was up to, and he began to do it. And the process of that was he was spending time alone in the morning with the Father. And he knew exactly what the Father wanted to do. I want to propose this. The closer you are to Jesus following him, the more explosive your life. If you're 15 yards behind, you'll have a 15-yard explosion. If you're 10 yards behind, the explosion goes wider. If you're a foot behind, oh my goodness, man, what is he going to take you to? If you're 1 inch behind his ear, 1 inch behind his body, literally your arm on his shoulder, man, I'm telling you, it's going to get nuts. The goal in life is to get closer to him. Okay? And so that's what our tool of meditation. Look below. It says there's a couple of Hebrew words for it. Bottom paragraph, left side, page 78. Two Hebrew words for meditation are, and boy, I'm going to give it my best shot, Hega and Shea, and they apply a process, four words. Look, say it with me. Listening, reflecting, rehearsing, and ruminating. Say it again. Listening, reflecting, rehearsing, and ruminating. And so when Scripture, bottom paragraph, left side, when Scripture is the focus of our attention, meditation can become like a prism for reflection and openness to insights from God. So when we're reflecting on God, you're just looking at Jesus and you're saying, Jesus, what did you say? And you're looking in his word and you're saying, okay, Jesus. And you're reflecting on it. You're meditating on it. Don't have to get consternated. It's not like about facial focused eyes and stuff. It's like you're like, ah, it's different than that, okay? You're relaxed, as Joy Dawson say, right? As a poached egg. That was her line. You're just laying there. You're just enjoying it. You're saying, God, here I am. Because it's about relationship. You can't get so serious, God will pay attention to you. Okay? You can't get, your serious meter doesn't equal God paying more attention to you. He loves you already. He loves you already, okay? So he might get closer to you when you start giggling than when you start just getting like that, right? I don't know. I'm not God, but he loves you so much, he's going to find you all day long, okay? Let's look at solitude. Punch someone next to you and say, okay, here we go, solitude. That's it. Wow. This is deep, man. This is deep. I think you got to turn back and say, this is deeper than I thought. This is deeper than I thought. That's right. Wow. I want to quote one of the scariest quotes on this on page right, the right side, page 78. Why don't we just go with a scary one? Loneliness is inner emptiness. Sounds like I'm in a wilderness right now. Loneliness is inner emptiness. Solitude, though, is inner fulfillment. Oh, boom. It was a dark night, but we got out on the second half of that quote. I was getting scared for my afternoon. Loneliness is inner emptiness. So that's not what we're proposing. Do not go out and be lonely and have inner emptiness and just start groaning and crying. We want you to have fulfillment in Jesus, okay? So up above, God takes, the second quote down, God takes this useless discipline, this waste of time, to make us his friend. What did you do the first day? We wasted our day and we became friends of God. You know, that would be, you're not going to be able to explain this. Okay, so now go back to the very first page. I got a great clock. We have 40 seconds now on the intro. Isn't this great? Number 10, page 10 and page 17. Here's how it works. Page 10, page 11. Here's how it works is let's read page 10 out loud. We start these 2 days together with a prayer that has been beating in the Father's heart. With some gumption, here we go. What are the key culture points that allow your glory to awaken a generation to its destiny? What are the values that we must walk in? Jesus, what do we need to know to see you release your salvation and training to mobilize this generation? Okay, that's our prayer. So we have simple instructions. Here's how I'm going to explain them to you even simpler. You're going to get 90-minute window, and that means from when you arrive in your chair, that's when the clock starts. So it's a full 90. The first 60 minutes, so when you go over there, whatever I'm imagining where you are, some chairs are there. The first 60 minutes is solitude. And you're going to be reading the very first thing in this book, The Culture of Active Love. Turn to page 14, and I'm going to transition now into the second half of this last 12 minutes and do it with you. And we're going to kind of set the prime for what we're doing. So what are we doing in this moment? Well, we're going to reflect and meditate on the subject of what is active love. And on the top of the page, it says, we want to address empty words and exchange it for a life of active love and compassion. We want to set ourselves apart. We want to reflect on that. And there's some words here, empty, definition, containing nothing, having no real purpose or value, lacking reality, substance, meaning, or value. And James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And so that's the emptiness. But what we want to do is not have just words. We don't want to be a word generation. We want to be a generation that is filled with activity. The activity of what we believe. We believe this, and out of our belief, we act. Do you get what I'm saying? We're not acting to gain approval by God. We're acting out of what we believe. We're already approved by God, but we're activating our love from Christ to love others. We want you to reflect on this, and then you're going to be going on the right side, page 15. You're going to be doing some meditation, and here's your notes. So you've got a pen, and we would like you to freelance notes. What do I mean by that? Write down what comes to mind on the subject of activated love. Yes. Now, these notes do not need to be important, but I'm sorry, they're going to be important. You will say that they're not meaningful and deep enough, and 2 days from now, you'll read them again and go, how did I write something so good? Yeah. Okay. You may literally feel like you got nothing. It's amazing how notes become so meaningful even in 2 or 3 days after you write them down. So we want you to write down, and we've given you plenty of space there. So for 30 minutes, reflect on the subject. Look into it and say, man, God, what are you saying to me about this subject? And begin to write things down. Remember, you're writing things down to kind of create in you this understanding of active love. All right, let's go to the next page. Page 16. What we're going to do here is the second 30 minutes of your solitude time is you're going to write out what is the culture of Jesus-modeled activated love that you want to live out. You're going to write it out in I believe statements, so it's deeply personal. This is your personal declaration of how you want to dedicate yourself to living a lifestyle of active love and compassion. And so on the right side is an example of exactly what we're talking about. Let's read it together, can we? Page 17, here we go. Where it says, I believe love is in action. This is by Holly Mosman. So this is what she wrote out as an example for us. But we want you to write out what comes to you. Are you following what I'm saying? But let's just kind of invest some time here and see what she wrote and let it, kind of give us an understanding of what we're going after writing out our hearts, okay? I believe love is in action. I believe everything I take in around Jesus and his word, I'm meant to actually do something with. I believe I'm meant to go in love, to actually meet people, touch their lives through merciful, kind, and generous acts, for laying hands on the sick and the hurting, for speaking words of encouragement and relief to those suffering in fear and rejection, for stopping my busy life to be present with someone in a moment. I believe love looks like going without so... Oh, you're doing better than me. I believe active compassion can interrupt your life on any level because you suddenly become aware of a need greater than your own. I believe active love will at times require everything I have to give in the moment. All my energy, time, resources, emotions, and prayer. Jesus lived his words and lived his message, and I believe I must do the same. My love and compassion flows from God's presence in my life. The more of him I have, the more of him I give to others. I believe the number one priority in my life is to be loving God and loving people. My life is about relationships, and as I love and serve others, I find my true meaning and purpose. I believe real transformation in my heart will become secure and long-lasting only when it's sealed by doing acts of mercy, justice, and pouring out love to others. I believe religion preaches what it doesn't know. It speaks of things it hasn't really seen. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be long-winded with tons of empty speech. I want to talk less and do more. I believe I'm meant to live the gospel so that I have all the authority of heaven behind me to reach the world for Jesus. Wow. That, absolutely nothing wrong with that right there. So then when you're done, you've written this out. And, you know, you put these I believe statements. I believe. Now let's think about this for a minute. If you go somewhere, let's say we're all going to go to USC right up here the road an hour away. If we have a culture of activated love, how much different is that visit going to be this afternoon? In other words, I could catch a vision like, we're going to go up there right now, and we're going to wear red shirts. And everywhere we go, people are going to see our red shirts. And here's the vision. When they come over, we're going to say to them these three words. Hey there. Hi there. We're going for it. And then they're going to ask us this question. You're going to hand them this pamphlet. But then you're going to put your hair back like this. And then you're going to say, God's doing something. Look at my hair. It's growing. And then everything, you know, when you come up with ridiculous plans that are minus culture, they're as ridiculous as what I just said. When you move out of culture, what you're about to do is coming out of heaven's gates. And it's so much more powerful because you're following him. And when you're following him, when you go to USC, I can't explain to you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But when you're following a man, you can totally explain what's going to happen. And we want to advocate that you'd follow Jesus and not men. How's that? Okay. Okay. That's wild, isn't it? That you have to even say it. All right, so as I close this time out, okay, in the last couple minutes, we're ahead of time, is when you think about it, when we all have this moment to really reflect on this and really go deep in this, what we're going to do over the 2 days is we're going to culminate on Saturday night with a love feast. Yeah, and you maybe have never been part of a love feast, but a love feast is basically great food, everybody together, and we begin to really focus on our love for God and our love for each other. And we begin to celebrate what God has done in our lives. There's worship involved. There's blessing one of another. There's just kind of a hallmark time for us to encounter the love of the Father and to encounter the love of our friends standing together. And as we go through this process, we're going to become so much closer even by 4 o'clock today. Even by 9 a.m. tomorrow, even by 3 p.m. tomorrow, by Saturday night, the bonds of unity are so great, and the family is so dynamic that we're like, we don't want to be alone tonight. We want to see each other, we want to eat with each other, and you can never underestimate what happens at a family table. A family table is where families come together and they have uncommon conversations about how much they love each other, how much they believe for each other and what God can do through each other. So we don't want to save the love feast for the end of the school. That would be pretty good. We're going to do it then too. But we want to front end two of them. One at the beginning, one at the end. Who knows? The one at the beginning might be more explosive. The one at the end would be like, guys, we got it. Let's go. You know, eat and go. The one in the beginning, though, would be rich. And all the walls come down. Okay, my final thought to you is this. As you're doing this, there's no way you can fail. This is failure proof. It's impossible to fail at what you're about to do. Number one, maybe your personality is a certain way. Well, that's because God made it that way. What are you going to do now? You better start thanking him for your personality. True? Maybe you've been so busy the last 4 weeks that you have not even had a time to be alone because you've been killing stuff, you've been working hard, you've been just trying to press to get it, raising money. Do you think God's not compassionate and doesn't know how hard you've been working, everything you've been balancing, all the things that you've had to do, and he's going to be like a little distance from you because you didn't have enough quiet times in the last 30 days to earn today to be special? No. No. He's waiting for you right now. He doesn't want a makeup game. He doesn't want a makeup time. He doesn't want you sitting there feeling bad. He understands. He understands. Do you see what I'm saying? And he knew you needed to be alone with him. So he changed all of our hearts as leaders and said, give them the time. They need time with him. Okay? What about your cell phone today? I love my cell phone. I'm not one of those guys that's totally down on cell phones because I call my wife on it all the time and I'm glad I have a phone. And you know what I mean? It's a great thing. My phone's right here. All right, here's my phone with my Mophie on it, right? Lasts forever, this battery. I'm set. The end of the world can come. I got plenty of battery. All right, I'm ready. But here's what we want to do is we're doing it out of volunteerism. So when we're alone with the Lord during these 90 minutes, just put it on silent, or maybe you need to shut it off so that you don't even see the screen. Is there going to be a cell phone cop today? No, because we want you to have reality. Because we don't want you to lead out of like, oh, well, this guy's looking in over me, I better turn it off. We want you to envision the future of the next several years of your life, having to be alone with the Lord and make that decision. Everybody wants you. They need your attention. And you go, it's not going to be enough. Turn off the ringer because things are going to flash. I'm just going to turn it off. This is my 30 minutes with the Father. But not out of guilt or not out of, you know what I'm saying, all that wonkiness, but just out of practicality. I've got to turn off this station with you in need and get alone with him. And I'll be back with all my friends in needs in 30 minutes or an hour. Okay, there it is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have such a special team, special groups. There's no way we can fail today. We have your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would move in the most unbelievable way through each other. Lord, as we're sitting before you, we begin to reflect on active love. Lord, all of our hearts resonate. We want to love generously, sacrificially, openly. None of us want walls in our life. None of us want barriers in our life. We were made to love. For every way, Lord, the enemy has said over the years, maybe we're not great at love. We combat that today. And we say, well, we'll spend no time on his negative report of what we've done or not done right. We're writing down who we are today, what we believe, what we want to live for the rest of our life. And we're going to go forward without you, enemy, chirping in our ears what we've done right and done wrong. So all regret and all of that sense that we haven't lived it enough is gone today, right now. We just wipe that out of this room. And we're going forward to be with our Father. We're going forward to be with the one who loves us so much. We're going forward to encounter Jesus. And that's what we're doing. It's the Jesus Encounter 2 days. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.